We continue our study of the book of 2 Kings in the life of Elisha, serving our faithful God, taken from 2 Kings chapter 8, verses 1 to 6, as we are drawing close to our study of this prophet's life. Surely goodness and mercy is our meditation for tonight. Just one thought. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. A familiar verse from Psalm 23, verse 1. When you have the Lord Jesus Christ as your shepherd, you shall have no lack. He shall take care of all your needs. He directs you to green pastures and still waters that you may be fed. To be fed not just physically, but spiritually, emotionally, relationally. He takes care of you fully, wholly, gently. This is our good God, whom He would like you to cultivate that goodly relationship, to have access to His good care for your life. The way God directs our lives would surpass our finite mind, our limited wisdom, our little faith. You see, oftentimes we don't know what is best for us. And we oftentimes struggle in our own thinking, in our own thoughts, to find a way for ourselves. But the Lord is the one that directs our ways. And the Lord wants us to know. And the psalmist David understood this as he was tasked to look after his father's sheep. He learned the skills of shepherding, and he saw the vulnerability of the sheep in a predative environment where the shepherd's care mean oftentimes between life and death for the sheep. He was that shepherd for his father's sheep, and he understood himself under the care of God, his shepherd, his father in heaven. And as he reflected upon his shepherding work, David was led to understand better the care of his Lord for him. And it was vividly penned, a visual picture, beautifully, in Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, he says, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was one late pastor who was making a background study into the times when David lived. He made a very good observation. He says that when David wrote this Psalm 23, the Egyptians had 360 primary gods, one for every day of the week. And the Canaanites, in whose land the Israelites came to live, they too had many gods. But David knew that there is one God, the Lord. And we know that this is the person, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came in the flesh, whom we have been studying in the Gospels. This is he who takes care of his people and who is overall God that we served. If we have Jesus Christ in our life, we have everything. Without him, we have nothing. And so David knew who his God is, and he understood that this Lord, his shepherd, will take care of all his needs, and that he shall have no lack. That the care of God for his people is total. We can rely upon him at all times. We can rely upon his sufficiency, as this pastor says, his security and his serenity, the peace that he gives in our hearts, to know that you are not alone in your journey through life. And the care of God in our lives, he says, is forevermore. He takes care of us not just for our present physical well-being, but more importantly, our eternal well-being. This is the faithful God whom Elisha served. This was the God who took care of his servant, who called him to service. And our story brings us back to the woman living in Shunem. 2 Kings chapter 4. We studied this some weeks ago. You recall that this woman that was living in the town that is that belongs to the tribe of Issachar was near the cities whereby the Philistines were. And this woman who lived there was greatly endowed with material wealth. And, you know, with all the wealth that God has given to her, God has also accorded to her the gift of hospitality. And, you know, every time she would see Elisha coming past her home, she would invite the prophet into her house, and she would provide for him the needful food for the traveling prophet. And every time Elisha obliged, you know, Elisha was facing a great battle in Israel because all the land was overrun with idolaters. And for him to proclaim the true God of Israel, he was one against many. And the battle was grave, and oftentimes he was persecuted. He was always on the run. And, you know, because he was in such a state, life oftentimes was difficult. And we see how God used this woman to provide for Elisha. And, you know, she even made a bill and accommodation to house Elisha. And for all the good that she had done for Elisha, Elisha saw that the family had a need. They had no children. And Elisha prayed, and God blessed this family with a son. And it was so wonderful that the living and true God of Israel came and was with the people of God. And this lady ministered to Elisha. And we saw also in our story how this was a woman who trusted God, and she did what she could to provide and serve the Lord by providing care and hospitality to Elisha. So God gave to this couple a son, and we know that, you know, suddenly the son, after a certain age, died. And Elisha again was called upon, and the Lord wrought a miracle to cause the son to be raised from the dead. And this was the story of that woman, right, whom God has raised to be a co-laborer, a companion to the prophet Elisha. And we want us to see today the continuing story of this woman's life, how God was her protection, right, because there was predicted that a long famine would come to Israel, and how God would use the prophet Elisha to guide the couple to find green pastures and still waters, albeit in Philistine territory, experiencing God's goodness and mercy in a time of severe famine. That is the thought that we want us to think about. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 1 says, then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise, and go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn. For the Lord hath called for a famine, and it shall also come upon the land 7 years. Wow. God is good to show to this woman the future, that there is going to be a time of scarcity that is coming, and she had the opportunity to prepare. So she must be asking the question, what to do then? Because there's a famine that is coming. And so Elisha said to her, arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou can sojourn, a place where you can find subsistence, sustenance for yourself. Right? He says that the Lord has called for such a famine to come upon the land. And, you know, this 7-year famine is going to be the most severe yet. During the time of Elijah, as we saw when we were studying the life of Elijah, there was a famine of 3.5 years. But this time, the famine was 7 year long, and it was going to be very severe. And the Lord wanted his people to, wanted this couple to know, right, that although a time of trouble is coming, but provision would be made for their sustenance. God takes care of his own people. Does it not remind you of the story of Joseph? When Israel was still a family of 70, the Lord sent Joseph to Egypt. And how the Lord gave to Joseph the prediction that a severe famine is going to come. And because of that knowledge, Joseph was given that opportunity to lead a period of managing the famine so that, you know, the land would not face a period where the people would starve. And you see how the Lord gave the wisdom, and the story was that God provided through this event incubation land of Goshen, where the family will multiply in that fertile land to become a great multitude. God was fulfilling his plan, and even through a famine, God was doing something through that famine to further his redemption plan. And here we see in the life of this woman that they were made known to this knowledge. We also see an earlier event when Abraham first came to Canaan. God also sent a famine. And you recall in Genesis chapter 12 that Abraham head straight for Egypt. We know from the study of the text that God has called them to go to Canaan. But when they arrived, immediately there was a famine. But our text also tells us that, you know, God did not ask them to go anywhere. God asked them to remain, go to Canaan and stay there and trust the Lord to help you. But you see how when Abraham saw that the famine was grievous, he saw the hunger that was going to come and to the point of desperation, he moved his family to Egypt. And, you know, there was no mention how Abraham sought the counsel of God during that time. But you see, this woman was different. She was someone who was acquainted with God and his people and his counselor, the prophet Elisha, and how she was given knowledge. And you see, she understood that they have to do something, and they were obedient to the instruction of the prophet Elisha. And so they left. Our text tells us in verse 2 that the woman arose and did after the saying of the men of God, and she went with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistines 7 years. You see, compared with Abram, she was doing something that was in the will of God, under the guidance of God. She was doing this move. Right? And you see that every time when we follow the instruction of God in our lives, right, you'll find that He will take care of us. And so for those 7 years where there was famine, they left for the Philistine territory. And, you know, because they were given the knowledge way in advance, right, when there was no famine, right, nothing in sight, they began to move. And so they managed to settle down, managed to prepare themselves. Right? And one point of application I could see is with regard to the coming of our Lord. He tells us that He is coming again, and He is asking that His people would prepare themselves for His coming again. And how do we prepare for the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the Lord gave a picture, right, as Noah built the ark to prepare for the coming flood. Jesus says that we are likewise to prepare for this judgment to come when our Lord would return. And therefore, you see, the people of God who are aware of what is going to come, they will take time to orientate themselves, to prepare themselves, to allocate their time, their resources towards the thing that matters for life. We were speaking to our sister recently. His mother has just gone home to be with the Lord, and you know, we were there this afternoon at the wake, and she was sharing with us that mother has lived to a ripe old age. She had many years of life. But one thing that she observed, mother, although she was well endowed, worked very hard during her earthly life, but at the end of her life, when she left, there was nothing that she could carry with her, nothing of this earthly life. The only thing that we could see as we observed and looked at her was that she was a child of God. And, you know, as our text in Psalm 23 tells us, that God takes care of us. His mercy, His goodness is upon us, not only for this life, right, but forevermore, eternally. And so she says that, indeed, 3 years ago, my mother was saved. She was so happy, so relieved, right, that when that moment comes, do you still have some loved ones who are still outside the kingdom of God that you are concerned about? Well, I'm sure the Lord wants us to pray and seek Him for His mercy upon them, upon these souls. These are the things that we do, right? For a time of judgment to come, a time of famine, a time of trouble. You know, God gives us prior information. He tells us what is going to come in the near future. And, you know, He also provides us a way out. And we have the needful wherewithal, the gospel to bring to them. And we are thankful. And so for this woman, she came, she went to the Philistine territory, and she preserved her family during the time of the 7 year famine. And at the end of the famine, she returned out of the land of the Philistine, verse 3 tells us. But she found that her home and her land was taken over. Well, it doesn't tell us here what happened, but possibly you see that as she plans to go, she must have entrusted the care of the land, the home, to someone that she think was trustworthy. And in the course of her leaving, when she returns, she find that, you know, the house has been taken over, and she was in a desperate situation. She's now back home, but her home is no longer hers. The land is no longer belonging to her. And what will she do? And so she came back, and the only recourse she had was to go to the king. Right? The king was, as you know, the king was corrupt, right? Another idolater. But it is interesting that you see in verse 4, how at that time when she came to seek the king, the king was in a conversation with Gehazi, the leprous servant of Elisha. Oh, Gehazi was there, and the king was at that time interested to know all the exploits that Elisha had done. And, you know, one of the stories that that Gehazi told the king was that how Elisha raised the son who was dead to life again. And then the woman came. Talk about coincidence. You find that, you know, the Lord is so marvelous to prepare the way of His people in such a way that you would find, you know, so unbelievable. But that's our God. You know, He's able to prepare events, prepare us, you know, such that we are able to see His good hand, right, caring and taking care of us. So for our dear sister who, you know, who came to church, I recall how she was invited to church. She has started Bible study, but hasn't gone to church before. 2 years. And she had no intention of going to church. But one day, her doctor said to her, "I invite you to come to my church." hand. She said, okay. And then a few days later, she said, I left my umbrella in the clinic. So I went back there to pick it up. And there he was, when I was picking it up, he came out and said, I'm going to bring you to church this Sunday. And so she came. And one thing led to another. You know, the Lord has brought her to the faith. How she was baptized. How she had a new life again. Life is so meaningful to her. Whereas before that, she could not see life ahead of her. But now the Lord has given her a new lease of life. Not only physical life, but also prospering her spiritually. And you can, you know, you can tell the life of a new Christian how fervent the Christian is for the Lord. Speaking to everyone, asking so many different people to come to church. And, you know, we have a family that came. Because, again, she said, I asked my friend to come. Never gone, hasn't been going to church for the last few years. And she said she came. And she said, one Sunday. And after that, she continued to come again and bring others in the family. What am I saying that? Well, what I'm saying here is that we see the goodness of God in the lives of the people of God who experience the care of God in their lives. And they realize that it is real. And, you know, you can't imagine yourself fending for yourself. Right? You may be in a crossroad looking for a lifetime career. And you're asking yourself, what am I supposed to do? What do I do for the rest of my life? What do I study? Which path should I go? Well, if you are a child of God, you know that you are under the care of God. And you know that as you pray, as you seek Him, He will direct you to the job of your choice. Whatever need that you have, the Lord knows, and you can ask the Lord. And this is the God that this woman knew, who leads and guides her. And the story goes that she found favor with the king because Gehazi was there telling her story, and she was bringing her son along, this son that was revived. And how is it that all this come together? Well, it must be the Lord. Right? The probability of that event happening is almost an impossibility. But God brought it about so that we may have no mistake to know that, you know, there is a God in heaven that takes care of our lives. He's the one who made us, and He also has a plan for our lives. And He wants to use you for His own glory. And for this woman, she experienced the goodness of God, the glory of God, when she found favor with the king, and she was restored to all that was belonged to the family. God was with her, and the Lord caused her to find favor with an ungodly king. Interesting. Indeed, the Lord is our shepherd. We shall not want. His goodness and His mercy will abide with His people, and we can trust Him to take care of us. Will you renew your faith in Him? Will you renew your trust in Him to seek Him with even more earnestness for your life? Right? To ask Him to take away all your fears, all your doubts, and to steal your heart and show you His direction, His plan for your life. Surely He will show it to you, like this woman in that junction, that snapshot, you know, in her life when God saved her from the famine. So the family was protected. They managed to find sustenance during a time where, you know, people are crying everywhere. And we are seeing a time of a crisis looming in the horizon. You see job cuts, productivity going, the exports and figures somehow plummeting in a great way. And you know, you hear distress calls, but we realize that we have a God who is able to take care of us despite all this fearful news that we are going to hear in the months to come. May God steel our hearts and cause us to be able to trust Him. Right? And as we pray, He will lead the way for us. Let us commit now this time to the Lord. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank Thee for this story, this simple story of a famine and how a family were delivered from the famine by Thy directive hand guiding them. Oh Lord, we want to see that same hand guiding our lives, and we want to once again surrender ourselves to You, to Thy guidance and to Thy help. Oh Lord, we have many needs, and we want to bring them before Thee at Thy throne of grace through the many needs of Thy people. Oh God, may Thou bless our time of intercessory prayer. This I ask with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.